Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But that's just a guess at this point. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Sure. Anytime.
Josh Stockley, professor of political science at ULM, joins us right now to talk about the election. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well. You didn't do any undergraduate work at Alabama, did you?
No, right, I certainly did not.
Because, boy, it would have been a hell of a time to find out if you had. Tell me about...
That would have been a bad situation.
Yep. Let's talk about the debate last night. I guess we'll start there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anything occurred that's going to separate any of the candidates from each other. I mean, what you have pretty clearly is John Bel Edwards is trying to defend his legacy of the last 4 years, and he's trying to make sure that this race is not nationalized, trying to make sure that national issues don't become local issues. Rasponi and Abraham are trying to tie themselves to Trump and national Republicans as much as possible, trying to rally that Republican support. But I wonder if it's just too little too late for the Republican challengers.
Yeah, I heard the expression a long time ago for an incumbent, Air Force One lands with a giant thud, right? I mean, that's about as big of an endorsement as you can get. Does that apply here, though?
It's a big endorsement, and we're a pro-Trump state, so Donald Trump certainly helps. However, what is difficult about this situation is he's simultaneously endorsing both Rasponi and Abraham. So you're not. It's a difficult way to knock out an incumbent. Trying to tell people to vote for, you know, two Republicans as opposed to one Republican, and then a Republican against a relatively popular incumbent. It's a difficult task, even among a Republican president in a Republican state.
Mike Pence was here last Saturday, I think it was, at Kenner, and I heard a commercial, and I'm not quite sure what candidate it was, but it was audio of Mike Pence endorsing them. But I got to believe that the other person could run an ad with Mike Pence endorsing them as well, right?
I mean, absolutely. Nothing stops either of those candidates from cutting an ad. And, I mean, credit to John Bel Edwards. He's been very quick to cite how many times he's visited with Donald Trump, the relationships he has with Donald Trump. I think he's done about an effective job as possible for a Democrat in the South to make themselves look like less of a Democrat and blunt those Republican forces, those endorsements, like from Pence and from Donald Trump.
And I guess what I was saying, more than cutting the ad, when it comes to Mike Pence, he had to say that about both of them, right? Maybe not the exact same thing, but they were both there, and he was. I would think that'd kind of be an awkward situation for him, right?
Yeah, it's not a common announcement to make where you're standing on stage with two people and you're saying, hey, vote for either one of these guys. That's a hard sell to make. I don't know which of the two you vote for, but just vote for one of these two. That's generally not the way endorsement politics works.
The message that sends to me, and I know I'm going to get some people that text in and don't like this, but, you know, I don't care, is that... That what they're saying is forget who does what, how. You got to go with the R. You got to go Republican. If not, you're deserting somehow and like putty on Seinfeld. You got to support the team, right?
Well, I mean, if party is that important, you know, all the people who criticize Washington, D.C., and just how partisan it is, if you turn around and then at a state and local level, you're just voting Republicans for the sake of voting Republicans, you're part of that partisan problem. I mean, that's you can't decry partisanship in D.C. and then turn around and be an absolute partisan on the local level. If John Bel Edwards is doing the job, I mean, and you think he's doing a good job and you like what he's doing, I don't know if you're necessarily knocking the team. What if the team is supplying two weak candidates? I don't think And I'm hard-pressed to believe that Eddie Rasponi and Ralph Abraham are the two best Republicans the Republican Party of Louisiana can offer against John Bel Edwards.
And strictly in the world of politics, you can infer from that implication that maybe a lot of Republicans didn't want to put themselves in a position of perhaps running in a race that they knew would be very difficult to win.
Absolutely. Difficult, but not impossible. And so I think people like Representative Scalise, I think Senator Kennedy, they took the safe way out. They knew there was a possibility of losing. So rather than risk it, keep what's going now, keep their reputation intact. They're also implicitly saying John Bel Edwards is a pretty strong incumbent. And if you listen to him on social issues, gun policy, abortion policy, school policy, he sounds like a Republican fairly often. That's a hard thing to run against.
And the other part of it, and we got to go to a break here, but the other part of it, Josh, is that would not potential Republican candidates besides the two that are running think, the main two that are running, realize this would be a pretty tough campaign to win, and as a result, they wouldn't even put their name in a hat?
I think that's absolutely what happened. They bowed out, let it be somebody else's competition. If you want proof, even more proof of that, look at what the candidates have raised from Republicans, not their own sources. A couple million dollars? That should never happen in the state of Louisiana for a Republican.
All right, we're going to take a break, pick it up here. If you got any questions or comments about the election coming up Saturday, I would love to hear from you at 870-870, and I'll pass them along to our guest, our friend Josh Stockley, professor of political science at ULM. Tommy Tucker back in a flash right here on WWL. Josh Stockley, our guest, professor of political science at ULM, talking about the election that's coming up on Saturday. A lot of us have voted early. Josh, I don't mean to get all up in your business or anything, but did you vote early?
Actually, I did not vote early. I was just having that conversation the other day. I meant to, but work just got busy this week.
Will you be voting on Saturday? Get ready to
hang up
on him, Tim. Get ready to disconnect. Will you be voting on Saturday, Josh?
I absolutely. I can't imagine anything worse than being a political science professor and not voting.
That was the point I was trying to make. I get two texts here. I don't know what this means to you as a man who studies political science, but one of them says, I voted early, and I could not imagine myself with good conscience pulling a lever for a Democrat. Right after that, from a different number, I voted early, and I can no longer stand the shenanigans of Republicans, so I voted every Democrat that I could, and I guess some of the races you didn't have a choice because they were Republicans. Is that random? Does that just mean two people that were listening happened to text in, or is that indicative of something going on in the country?
I think that is a sentiment that we can draw conclusions from. There are plenty of individuals out there, and I see that from the low turnout that we have in elections, that there is a great portion of our public that is dissatisfied with both parties. And I tie it to turnout because when you show up to vote, there's generally only two people to vote for, two parties to vote for, Democrat, Republican. There's not much of an other. If you are an other type of person, if you're frustrated with the system as it is, well, who are you left to vote for in the current system? So a lot of people just don't vote. So, no, I think those two individuals, they're not exceptions to the rule. I don't think they're the majority of Americans, but they're certainly a significant portion of the public frustrated with the current party system.
Somebody texted in, Steve Scalise could have won. I'm an independent voting for John Bel Edwards. Somebody else texted in, Scalise could have walked in over John Bel Edwards into the governor's mansion, but he wanted to be Speaker of the House, of course. The Republicans would have to have the majority in the House before that could happen. But what would you rather be? Would you rather be a big shot in a Republican Party on Capitol Hill or governor of Louisiana in terms of, and I know it's personal preference, but in terms of power?
Hey, that's a great question. Unfortunately, to be a big shot in Washington, D.C., that's only a handful of offices. So, you know, Representative Scalise, in his defense, I think legitimately has a good excuse for staying right where he's at. It's very rare for people to occupy that position, and it's been even rarer for someone from Louisiana to be so close to the speaker's gavel. We came really close under former Congressman Livingston unfortunately, he got caught up in a scandal of his own. So
during an impeachment hearing against Bill Clinton, which I never could understand in terms of vetting, if he knew that was in his past, why he would subject himself to that. But that's a different discussion.
Yeah, poor politics. You know, I think somebody like Senator Cassidy or Senator Edwards, Kennedy, they certainly, there is an argument to be the governor of the state. You know, when you're a rank and file congressman, it's really hard to exert influence. Even if you are in the majority party, it's even harder if you're in the minority party. So each to his own, but, you know, being the governor of a state, even a state like Louisiana, that's still a prestigious office to hold.
You know, this is going to be a wide-ranging conversation, Josh, and that's why we wanted you for an hour. I hope you don't mind. But I'm getting some text here about Senator Kennedy. John Kennedy really is the master of the soundbite, is he not? And as a result of that, what good could that do him politically?
Well, it's good from a PR perspective. I mean, he's a favorite even on CNN because of his 2-3 second expressions, his country folk side of him. So he's a fun caricature to have on television. Unfortunately, if you're a soundbite politician, then the second dimension to that is substance. Are you actually saying anything? And I think that's the criticism of Senator Kennedy. Yeah, those are some nice little things about loving your neighbors, but I'm going to carry a gun. But what's the substance? What are you actually doing?
Well, you can kick a cow in the rear end, but I tell you what, that's not going to make a Buick go faster. And it's funny, and everybody laughs. Is like, wait, what the hell does that mean? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I'm going to drink weed killer. Okay, that's great. I chuckle, but so how are you going to manage your budget?
Well, and in light of the Roundup thing, it's not very funny anymore.
Absolutely.
In terms of the governor's race itself and the debates that have happened, did that change anybody's mind at all in terms of John Bel Edwards, or could John Bel Edwards have sat him out? And is that strictly between Abraham and Rasponi?
I'm skeptical that there were too many individuals, if any individuals, that changed their mind as a result of the debates. The viewership was just way too low. I suspect the most important function of the debate was for many of your undecided Republicans to try to figure out whether they were going to side with Rasponi or Abraham. Most of the viewers probably already liked or disliked Edwards, probably already knew where they stood with the incumbent. The debates were probably more important for Republicans. So, and again, I don't think a lot of people probably made their minds on those debates. If anything, Eddie Rasponi's ads probably influence more people than the debates combined.
In terms of, man, PAC money, and Lord knows we've heard gumbo PACs. I think we had jambalaya PACs, oyster on a half shell PACs. They all seem to be food-based for some reason, Josh. But when it comes to that money, and you got the president coming in, why is it so important that the governor be a Republican? Is that about electing members to Congress that are Republican? Is it about supporting the president? Because it would seem like you got state government and national government.
I mean, it's not so important that the governor of Louisiana be a Republican for any other reason than the symbolic power of having a Republican in office. Sure, some of the policy specialists might say it's important because Governor Edwards will veto Republican policies, or maybe he's going to be the governor during redistricting and he could carve up some Democratic districts. I still don't think that's the case. You have a legislature that's overwhelmingly Republican. They're going to decide our congressional districts. And besides, Governor Edwards has supported so many policies that are generally supported by Republicans anyway. Those making the Republican argument are simply making a symbolic argument. There's no real power as it relates to the National Party or any developments in Washington, D.C.
Now, you're talking about a representative, which this election is not about that. But in a 2020 election, when the entire House is up, in a 2020 election, when a third of the Senate is up, those should get the national attention, because that really has something to do with what a president can accomplish when he's in office.
Absolutely. Congressional elections in 2020 are far more important to what happens in federal politics than any Louisiana election in 2019.
All right, we take a break. We come back. I'll talk to you about the odds of a runoff in the governor's race. And there are a lot of other offices that are being contested. I don't know if it was you or not, Josh, but somebody made the point that really those smaller offices are the ones that affect your day-to-day life more than the governor's race does, even though that gets all the headlines. If you have any questions or comments about the election coming up, you can text them in 870-870, and I'll pass them along. And I'd just like to ask you, if you're a Republican, are you voting all Republican, or are you fed up and are you voting all Democrat? If you're a Democrat and you're fed up, are you voting all Republican? Or do you look at each office individually? Back in a flash, right here on WWL. Let me say this as we continue our conversation with Josh Stockley, professor of political science at ULM, about Saturday's election. This has nothing to do with anybody's specific commercial. As you know, we run commercials for everybody and every candidate, so a lot of them engage in the same thing. So I'm not going after anybody, okay? But Josh, somebody texted this in, and I think it's kind of interesting because they said, I don't know who to vote for because the people that have their own commercials are lying about what they do and taking credit for things that their office doesn't even have a voice in. And the attack ads are all negative, and that they exaggerate the different things. The text is in different pieces here, so it's hard to describe. Basically, what they're saying is the people themselves lie about what they do or can do, and sometimes it doesn't even involve their office. And the people that attack them for things that, you know, might technically be true, but they're taken out of context.
Yeah, I mean, I think attack ads as the measure of voting is probably a poor way to make a decision. I mean, you can't go off the advertisements. Lie might be a strong word. If they're blatant lies, I mean, obviously, then the individual running them would be subject to libel or slander laws. But you have to do independent research. You know, what does the insurance commissioner, as I was listening to those advertisements during the break, what does the insurance company actually do? And then which of the candidates, from a technical perspective, are going to, you think, execute or implement the policies that you think should be implemented within the confines of that office? If there's an insurance company and they're running ads about immigration, you're right. It does no good deed for any voter in Louisiana. Insurance commissioners don't have anything to do with immigration.
Okay, I'll let it go with that. Okay, so a couple of questions. What do you think the odds are that we don't have a runoff in the governor's race, or that we do? And what are some other offices around the state that might not be, or locally, that might not be getting the attention they deserve and that could likely wind up in a runoff?
I think the odds are still good for a runoff. John Bel Edwards has been consistently polling about 46, 47, 48%, and we don't know what turnout's going to be like on Saturday. So would I be surprised if he wins outright? No. Would I be surprised if we go into a runoff? Absolutely not. How likely that is, that's still kind of hard to determine. We don't know where the undecided voters are going to break, and we just don't know what turnout is going to look like. In terms of races that we're overlooking, the governor's office is important, but equally, if not more important at times, are your state representative and state senator races. They dictate what the governor oftentimes even gets to sign into law or not sign into law. So I would argue that everybody out there needs to be far as equally concerned with the 105 state representative races that we have out there to go along with our 39 state Senate races. Those are just as important. Police juries are important. Parish presidents, sheriffs, all of these offices have the opportunity to create local policies that could influence you on a day-to-day perspective much more than anything President Trump does.
Another text comes in here, and it's two of them from different numbers. Tommy, anybody with a brain should be fed up with the Socialist Liberal Democratic Party. Somebody else texted in and said, Tommy, those that say they only vote Republican or only Democrat are basically saying they want a one-party system. As far as, you know, people that are viewing the Democrats one way or the Republicans the other, Is that what you were just talking about, where you're getting so hung up on his party thing, you're not looking at the individual candidates and which one is going to be better for you in your life?
Right. I think you're getting hung up on a label, and you're letting the label obfuscate, just completely impair and block your ability to judge an individual. I think even Republicans would admit that not all Republicans are the same. Not all Democrats are the same. And so if you're going to be blinded by a partisan label, again, I would go back to the argument, you're part of the problem. You're indirectly supporting partisanship. I think every race is different, every candidate is different, and you need to evaluate every person or candidate individually, not simply the party label.
All right, other than the governor, in terms of the most important statewide race that we have that affect people's lives, what do you think it would be? What would the office be?
Well, I mean, I don't think there is a clear, you know, number two, because they are all important. You know, the insurance commissioner can play a strong role in the quality of the insurance regulations that we have in the state. They could even influence our insurance rates to go down. I would even argue the state treasurer is important. They can make long-term investment decisions that determine how much financial flexibility we have. Even offices like Secretary of State and Lieutenant Governor. Lieutenant Governor is an ambassador. They're a tourism director. We could use even more tourism and all the tourism that we could get. We have some wonderful places for people to visit. Secretary of State, that's voting. How accessible is voting to people? Corporate regulations. So, I mean, they're all important. They all influence a different facet of our lives.
Again, this has nothing to do with any individual candidate or ad that we're running, because we're running them for everybody. We're running them for every PAC. Here's a little reality, says this text. A lot of people are turned off with all of these attack commercials and ads, and guess what? They will not vote because of all of that crap. Is the end result of that? And as I read this text, it makes me think, well, maybe the result of the attack ads are you think, you know what, they all suck, so I'm not going to even bother to go vote. Could that have that kind of effect, or is there any research on that?
Yeah, I mean, the attack ads are actually trying to do two things disproportionately, and either can be a positive to the person running it. You're trying to get an individual to have a negative reputation, not so much that you'll vote for the other guy, but you're trying to at least get that voter to say, well, whatever else, I'm not voting for him. So the attack ads are unfortunate because, again, they're not convincing, for example, Edwards to vote for Edwards. They're just trying to convince you not to vote for one of your opponents. And then the second thing might happen. All of the candidates become so distasteful that you don't vote. Either of those, depending on who the candidate is actually a positive outcome. Unfortunately, I would argue for residents of this state, that's not a positive. Not voting is not the solution to this problem. It's not how you're going to fix the problem. And you'll just allow people to continue to run negative ads.
So what would you tell, I don't want you obviously to recommend any candidate for any office, but for somebody that is like this texter and they're just fed up with it, and I'd never thought that before about, you know, I always thought you might take umbrage at your candidate being besmirched and take joy in the fact that your candidate is disparaging the other one, but I never realized that the end result would be, man, both of these people are terrible. But if that's the way somebody feels and you still want them to vote, what would your suggestion be to sort through it all and at least find somebody to bet for? Easy. To vote for, not bet for.
I mean, the first thing I would do is ignore the air advertisements, probably ignore the print advertisements, maybe even ignore Facebook. There's enough good journalism out there, both local and nationally, where you can research these individuals. Just type up their records. What have they done? And then you have to independently decide whether that is something that you want in office or not. Is it work? Yes. Might it take a couple hours to do some good, you know, internet sleuthing? Sure. But that's research and time well spent, making sure that you're getting an individual that most closest approximates your opinion. You're not going to get a perfect candidate. But who's going to do most of what you want when they get into office? You just have to independently do research.
Somebody texted in and said Governor Edwards never did an attack ad. That's kind of like proving a negative, pardon a pun, but I don't know. Has he?
Has he himself run attack ads? Sure. Has he sponsored one in this election cycle yet? No. Negative ads out there about the Republicans? Yes. Are they being run by independent PACs? Yes. So, I mean, technically, he is correct about this cycle. But he's got allies that are doing the attack on his behalf. Well, so he can safely say, I'm not doing the attacking, but my friends are.
So you can know the person, but you cannot discuss the ad or the campaign, right?
Absolutely. You cannot discuss, a PAC can't discuss strategy with the candidate.
Even though that a lot of times a PAC is formed by a friend and, maybe.
Sure.
And I'm not talking about the governor here specifically. But, sure. You're talking about the kids coming over and the swimming lessons, and who knows what comes up. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Tommy.
Somebody texted in and said they had you, and you were at Nichols. You're the best professor ever.
Thank you. That's just the best compliment I can ever think of.
Pretty rarefied air. Thank you, sir. Josh Stockley, professor of political science at ULM. Back in a moment here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.